Good morning. Again, welcome to Sunday Mass here at St. Wenceslaus on the second Sunday of Lent. I hope that all of you are having a wonderful weekend so far. It's been a beautiful weekend. Smack dab in the middle of St. Peter's Square is an obelisk, an 82-foot obelisk, a spinal column of red granite that was brought from Egypt to Rome around the year 37 AD. For the Egyptian pagans, this spinal column represented a connection between the human and the divine, almost a way of communicating with the gods. And after it was brought to Rome, this spinal column was an attraction for the many circuses of the Roman emperors, circuses that oftentimes saw the shedding of the early Christian martyrs as a form of entertainment. Later in his life, St. Peter would be one of these martyrs in this circus, in Nero's circus that saw the shedding of so much blood, and his was one of them. St. Peter would fulfill the words of Christ earlier in his life that when St. Peter would be younger, he could go where he wished, but then when he got older, he would be led to a place that he did not want to go. And this obelisk in St. Peter's Square was likely the very last thing that Peter saw before dying. Peter was crucified upside down, and so he was likely looking at this obelisk upside down, saying that he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way as our Lord. Earlier in his life, we hear that St. Peter in the Gospel today went up that mountain with James and John at the transfiguration of Jesus in the company of Moses and Elijah. And Moses represented the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, and Elijah, or the law rather, and Elijah representing all the Old Testament prophets. After foretelling that Jesus would soon undergo his death in Jerusalem, the transfiguration of Jesus, I believe, gave the apostles, gave Peter and James and John a reason to hope. A reason to hope that whatever would come later on, whatever suffering they would have to endure, whatever they would face at their deaths, that they wouldn't go it alone, that they would have some reason to hope. Because it was Christ that would be rejected first. It would be Christ that would be brutally killed first. The transfiguration of Jesus gave the apostles reason to hope that nothing, not even their suffering, not even their death, would be in vain. And I think for us too, the transfiguration of Jesus speaks to something very personal for each one of us. Because there's times in our life, I think, where we just don't know how this or that situation is going to end up and how it could possibly end up well. Whether it's a situation at work, with a spouse or with a sibling, with our children, sometimes we just don't know how it's going to end well, how it could possibly end up for the good. And also on this second Sunday of Lent, the transfiguration of Jesus, I think, gives us reason to hope at a point during this Lenten journey of ours that perhaps we've been a bit frustrated with ourselves. Frustrated that we haven't lived up to the expectations that we had set for this Lent. Frustrated that we've failed to give into our resolve to avoid this or to take up that Lenten observance. This transfiguration of Jesus, like the apostles, gives them, but also us, reason to hope. That just as the apostles' faith was oftentimes very, very weak, so too is mine. We oftentimes hear in Scripture of mountains, don't we? Of Moses being on the mountain, Noah on the mountain, Elijah on the mountain. And it's not just by chance that we hear, I think, of mountains in Lent. Mountains are deeply symbolic. They're deeply symbolic, I think, of our Catholic faith. Imagine for a moment looking out across a vast range of mountains. At that time, mountains can elicit in us a great and a deep sense of wonder and awe. Mountains can be peaceful places, places where we can go to escape from the responsibilities that we have, the duties that we have of daily life, to rest. At other times, I think mountains could be places of suffering. Mountains could be places of danger. Think of all the expeditions over the years that have not ended well, that have resulted in suffering, that have resulted in a loss of life. Our faith can be like mountains at times. At times, our faith can bring us to great peace. At some times, our faith can bring us to great thoughts of suffering, perhaps being alone with God, being isolated with no one else to help us. We can feel at times overwhelmed with God's plan of salvation, and at the same time, we can be just as fearful as the apostles, who all but one of them, who fled at Christ's crucifixion on another mountain, on Mount Calvary. But like those first apostles who looked up at Jesus, at the transfiguration, like Peter who looked up, even though he was upside down, at that obelisk standing in the middle of Nero's circus in Rome, the heart now of St. Peter's Square, we have every reason to hope. The transfiguration gives us reason to hope that whatever mountains may come our way, regardless of how big or small those mountains may be, that there is no mountain too high and there's certainly no mountain too dangerous that God has not already conquered.